פרק ז' פסוק ח' טויב אכנס דבר מיירי שיסוי טויב ערך רוח מגבר רוח. We compare here the two different parts of the pasuk. We compare the end to the beginning. We compare patience, ערך רוח means patience, to מגבר רוח. מגבר רוח simply means arrogance. And the pasuk seems to say there's a relationship between patience and arrogance. I don't know if that the average person would make that that relationship. What would you say?
Inverse
relationship between patience and arrogance. What does arrogance have to do with being impatient? We are people who are very arrogant, but they're patient. And there are people who are humble and are very impatient.
But if you're self-centered, if you think of yourself, you don't want to wait for anyone else.
So you have to scratch beneath the surface, even though it appears on the surface that there is very little relationship between these two concepts. Because like I say, we know humble people. There are people who are authentically humble, but have no patience. They daven hashkama. They can't sit through a drasha. They just don't have patience. And they are good, authentically humble people. And they are arrogant people. And they have patience. To be the president of the United States, you need to have a lot of patience. So, where do you draw the line? Obviously, so when we talk about patience and we talk about impatience and arrogance, obviously it means something a little deeper. It means, like as Mr. Marilla said, is that people who think that they are the center of the world are intolerant. So, erech ruach doesn't necessarily mean patience. It means intolerance. Erech, how do you translate the words? Erech ruach, a long spirit. A spirit, what is exactly, we simply translate the common...
They say that when you don't want someone to get upset, take a breath.
No, but...
Calm down.
Don't come out with your...
So it doesn't necessarily mean patience, it means tolerance.
Yeah, like broad-mindedness.
It's a whole different idea. Broad-mindedness, that's a lot. You're adding a lot into the words.
Because length is often translated as broad, as breadth.
Breath. Ruach, and what is ruach? Ruach, okay. It's a very, I don't really, let's see the Perushim. Let's see first the Mitzvah, David Pasuk, Tayyav Achris, David. Now that's the end of the Pasuk. We have to first discuss the beginning of the Pasuk. The end of the Pasuk obviously is a lot simpler, the end of the verse, the beginning. Tayyav Achris, David, read to Lai, Mark, Kamosha, Achris, Adavar, who Tayyav Yosem in Harashis. The end is always better than the beginning. Why? Kibarashis, Adavar, Loi, Noidama, Ye Oseba. We don't know we do not know what is going to be. A child is born. We have no idea what's going to become of this child. Avul kishenigmar hadavar, when the matter is closed, noida hakol, it's known, everything is known, it's clear, period. Cain, likewise. Toiv yoyser hamarich, now, so according to the Sudeva Toiv, according to the parish of the Mitzudos, he is clearly connecting the end of the pasuk to the beginning of the pasuk. It's not just two independent clauses which are sandwiched together in one, which are glued together in one pasuk. There's a relationship. Cain, toiv yoisa marich reigzai, a person who holds back his anger. So he's. Oh, so that's what he is embellishing a lot into the words. It's not what it says in the pasuk. That's why this pasuk is subject to much interpretation. But he is translating a person who holds back his anger, and I guess the reason why he chooses ruach here as a substitute for anger is because of pasuk tes that's coming up. Al tivahel biruchach lichos, do not be confounded, do not be in a state of bewilderment, a state of bahala. When something happens to get angry, that's what it says in pasuk tes, we're leading into the next pasuk. So he writes here, Cain to Marich, where he gets likewise a person who's patient, the Enoi Mimaher Loriv, and is not swift to get angry, Mimi Shehu Govar Ruach, more so than the person who is arrogant. So he clearly translates Asher Bavur Zeyimar Lehiskat Seif, he gets angry quickly. So here he's coming to explain the relationship between the end of the pasuk and the beginning of the pasuk, because a person who gets angry, he is at the rachis. He is now has initiated a new chapter in his life of war. And once you enter into a state of war, it's not so easy to escape. Hu adayin bitchila sariv, v'loy noida ma'yiyah b'soif b'... Hachlim Oisoyre Ehu does not know at the end what's going to be when his friend puts him to shame. Aval Imarich Af, but if a person is, he holds back his anger, he's Marich Af, again he substitutes the word Af, the word Ruach for the word Af. Me'elov Yishka Hariv, immediately it will subside the quarrel. Uchilu Nishlan Hadar. Very novel, insightful understanding of the pasuk of people who get angry are beginning a new stage in their life. When you start a fight, when you pick a fight, this can go on for a lifetime. You tell someone next to you, you know, can you please stop talking during davening? You're annoying me. There are consequences. There are consequences that go on for years. We all know it to be very true. It's you're now in the beginning of something new, and you do not know how this will end. And usually, it will not end well. But if you hold back and you don't provoke your neighbor, you hold yourself back, you don't complain, it's as if the chapter has been concluded peacefully. The war is over. Immediately, you calm down. There's no fighting. You're on speaking terms. You get along. Shalom al Yisrael. It's as if you have 30 years have passed. Why wait 30 years to make a peace treaty with another nation and sign and shake hands and kiss and make up when you could have the peace immediately from day one?
There's a way of tactfully doing it without getting into a fight.
Exactly. So if it's done through anger, that's what I'm saying. If it's done through anger, a person flares up without doing it in a rational. There's obviously a need. If there's a cause for a strife, obviously there's a problem. And if the problem is not addressed in an intelligent, thoughtful way, but instead the person responds on impulse, just blast them away, you've now entered into a new stage. You are holding out the rachis in contrast to the achris. And the rachis is not a happy moment because you do not know where the road ends. You do not know. It's fascinating, fascinating insight into the Pshat Pasuk. Okay, this is the Mitzudas. The Mitzudas very often says his own ideas. Okay? Now let's come to Rashi. Rashi has a whole different interpretation. Rashi is really primarily focused on the Medrash. It's a shame. I really, if I could, I don't know how to do this. We should really learn all the Midrashim inside. It would be really great. It would slow us down a little bit, but I think it would be well worth it. Maybe we'll do the next Sefer. We'll do Megillas Esther. After we do Koheles, we're going to start Megillas Esther. So maybe we have to figure out a way to get a hold of a copy of Medrash. Rabbi Chol, you have a solution? A good copy. Well, a photo. What? Yeah, that would be a good idea. That's not a bad idea. What?
We have Wi-Fi here.
We have Wi-Fi here. We can get Wi-Fi here.
There is Wi-Fi.
Is Wi-Fi here? Okay, we'll see. But let's see Rashi. Rashi over here goes into the Medrash. Kimash. First Rashi over here says Toiv Achris Tavim Bereishis. So Kimash Ma'oi. Simple Pshat. Bereishis Hadavar Ein Anu Yoyde Ma'i Yihye B'Soifai. Okay, in the beginning of something, in the beginning of a matter, we don't know what's going to be at the end. Avol kisha achris toiv, avol kisha achrisoi toiv, nigmar b'toiv. I'm not sure how do you pronounce. What's that? What do you have in your edition? Avol be'ach kisha achriso with the vav at the end.
Yeah.
Avol kisha achriso tov. Nigmar b'toiva. But when the end is good, then all ends well. Something along those lines. All's well that ends well. Ends well. Okay, period. This is the simple pshat, like what the Mitzudah said. Dovar acher. Now we're going into Medrash. Dovar acher. Toiv achris dovar meireishi so. The end is good when it's... The end will only be good if the beginning is good. In other words, when a person, if the kavana, if the intent of a mission was done l'shem shamayim. He's really referring to things that are done spiritual pursuits. If something is begun l'shem shamayim, then the end will turn out well. Tov davar acher, achris davar, the end of the matter will only be good mereishiso, depending upon the kavana that was injected to its inception. Bizman shehu mereishiso toiv shenischavnu, there was intent l'toiv, to do something good. Kishahischilubov, now he gives an example. Kishahischilubov Rabbi Meir. I'm sorry, when the intent was good, when they started the matter. And now Rashi just cites the first words of very long Medrash in Koheles Rabbah. Rabbi Meir, Have Kolim Vidorish Kula Milsa Belisha Ben Avuya. Rabbi Meir was standing, and he darshan this pasuk. There was a conversation between Rabbi Meir and his Rebbe, Elisha Ben Avuya, who was known in the Gemara as Acher. They did not want to give him the credit to call him by his name Acher, because he left the fold. What we call today's generation, he went off the derech. And he was sitting in Beis Medrash, and they said to him, who is outside? They heard that outside, there's someone outside the Beis Medrash, was Shabbos, and on a horse, can you imagine, on a horse, and today with trouble in a car, is the Rebbe. The Rebbe is outside at Shabbos Kodesh, and who's outside the Beis Medrash in a Cadillac? The Rebbe is here. So he goes outside to see the Rebbe, Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya, and Elisha ben Avuya says to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir, what are you learning today? Oh, you're learning a Daf Gemara. Tell me what Masech, let's talk in learning. The Rebbe went off the derech. Because Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya, he loved, so they started talking, learning, they had the various sugyas, and you have to go to the Medrash, and the Medrash, everything that Rabbi Meir said was a hint, Rebbe, do tshuva. And part of the conversation, this very long medrash, is they discussed this pasuk of Tev Achris Dova Mereishiso. He asked his Rebbe, what happened to you? How did it happen that you, the great Elisha ben Avuya, who was a Tana and was quoted in the Mishnayis as Acher, left the fold? And the answer he gave was, because when I was born to parents who were very simple parents. They were not from the big Talmidei Chachamim. And I was at my bris that the various Rosh Yeshiva, there were many groups of people who came to participate in the bris milah. Among them were Amaratzim, who were singing songs of nonsense, Isaac and Kalos Rosh. And then there was a group of Talmidei Chachamim that came to the bris milah for whatever reason. And when the Talmidei Chachamim saw that the Hamoin Am was being Oisek in Kalos Rosh, they decided, let them do their thing, let us sit down and learn Torah. And they began to die to learn. And the learning was so intense, and it was done with such fervor and Kiddusha, an Eish Min HaShamayim came down. And the father of Avuya, the father of Elisha, saw this massive fire, and he said to the Rabban, what are you doing? You're going to burn down my house. What are you, crazy? You come here to destroy my house? So Avuya said, this is not an ordinary fire, this is a spiritual fire. And this fire will not destroy your house. So when Avuya saw the Kavod HaTorah, he saw the beauty of learning Torah, the Kedusha that it brings, he decided, you know what? I'd rather my child should grow up to be a Talmud Chacham just like this group of Talmidei Chachamim. So on that day, Bo Bayom, he enrolled him in an Cheder. Instead of having the child that was originally planning to go to public school, he sent him off right away. He right away decided he's going to go to learn in Cheder. But it was Elisha said to Rabbi Meir. The problem was, the only reason why my father enrolled me in Cheder instead of going to public school was because he was so impressed with the kavod, with the honor. They can learn, and a fire should come down from Shemayim and surround them and present them with this beauty. That is shaloi l'shem shemayim. The reason why the father avuya should have enrolled his child in cheder is because it's the right thing to do. He should have done it l'shem shemayim. The kavana, the reason why he decided to raise him al derech haTorah was shaloi l'shem shemayim. Was only because of shaloi l'shma. He wanted the kavod. He wanted the honor. That is that evil kavana, evil, that insincere kavana germinated. It took root, and that was what led ultimately to Elisha leaving the fold at a later point in his life. It's a very shocking thing to say. Today you would never say something like this. Something this. You say b'toch shaloi l'shma, b'al l'shma. Do whatever it takes. Just learn. But we're not dealing with ordinary people. We're dealing over here with the Tanoim. We're dealing with a whole different generation. And this is why. How Rashi and how the Gemara, the Medrash actually learns on the pasuk. Toiv achris davar. The end of the life of Elisha would have been good if neirei shisoi, if the kavana that was put, the chinuch that was put into him, would have been good in the very beginning. But because the rachis was corrupt, was tainted, the reason why he was raised to serve Hashem was only for kavod, for reasons that are not l'shem shemayim. That is what affected his achris. The end was not 100% l'shem shemayim. It was not 100% good. And that was the story.
So was Rameir able to change him around? Or
no. The end. The end was he told him to do tshuva. I think at the end he did it, right? Did he do tshuva at the end?
No, there was a fire. What was there? Fire coming out of his grave?
Yeah.
Is a fire coming out of grave and no one could get rid of it for 100 years?
Okay, next. This therefore that's the pshat in the pasuk according to Rashi. There's a lot that goes into this. I think in the Volozhna Yeshiva, if I'm not mistaken, there's a story when they expanded the Beis Medrash. When they expanded the Beis Medrash, I think the Chaim Volozhin, he insisted that the Talmidim should sit and learn in the expansion nonstop to inject it with kedusha, to bring it up to date with the kedusha of the rest of the Beis Medrash. There's something hazorin bedima berina yiktsayru. When the seed is planted with tears, then berina yiktsayru. When the inception, the beginning of something is done 100% l'shem shemayim, then it will lead. That probably.
Now it really wasn't Acha's fault.
Exactly, he's saying it's not fault. It's because this everyone has bechira. There's a balance. Everyone has bechira, but
the father pushed it, so inculcated.
Okay, there is something to the haschala. Look, this is also the makar of why we're so makbid on Rosh Hashanah simoni milsa. On the night of Rosh Hashanah, we eat the head of a fish, pomegranates, and all of these different types of things. Why are we so obsessed in the beginning of the year with various simonim? Because of this idea. Because the end of the year is rooted in the beginning of the year. If the beginning of the year is done with simon toiv, with a good mazel, and with good simonim, this is mashpia, this has an effect upon the rest of the year. When Shlomo HaMelech inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash, he woke up late, the very first day, the night of the inauguration, the night before the inauguration, he married the daughter of Paro. She kept him up the entire night by demonstrating various dances that she learned to do for Avodah Zarah. This, she kept him up. He woke up late. Because he woke up late, the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash was not 100%. And Chazal attribute, that's why it was destroyed. That's why there was already a crack in the foundation. It's not just a crack in the foundation, in the physical foundation, but in the spiritual foundation. Will and will is, if you have a skyscraper that goes up 100 stories, it's that much more critical for the foundation to be 100% perfect. If you build a building that's only one or two stories and the foundation is not 100% level, big deal. So it's not level. So you go up one story, you go up two stories, the building will still sting, you won't even know the difference. But as you go up three, four, five, six, seven stories, the higher you go, then the imperfection in the foundation gets more and more pronounced as you go higher and higher. The haschalah has to be pervasive. Even though today, embryonic stem cell research, right in the beginning of a child and a person's development, already is going to be what's going to be 80 years from now. What's going to be, will this child suffer from a certain genetic disease in 80 years from now? It's already mushrush. If you can nip it in the bud when the child is an infant, you don't allow it to accelerate. Toiv achris davar, the end of something is only going to be as good as meirei shisai, as good as the shoresh, as the source itself. Now the problem with all this, now I want to go a step further. And according to this interpretation, we have now a new interpretation of the end of the pasuk. The pasuk concludes, if this Rashi does not follow through, you have achris davar mei rei shiso is only as good as the beginning. So follow that same thought. Go to the end of the pasuk. Toiv erech ruach migivar ruach. So we have to be consistent. That patience is only as good when it's rooted in gaiva. That doesn't make sense, obviously. But I think what it means to say is Gvar Ruach doesn't only mean, this is a Jewish, this is not necessarily Pshat. Gvar Ruach does not only mean arrogance. Gvar Ruach can also be interpreted to mean an exalted person. A person, a Migvar means a Hecher Mensch. Is that the expression in Yiddish? A person who is Anshe Maila. Ruach means he has a spirit, not your ordinary person. A person of stature.
The Hoibin Yid.
A person of stature. A person that appreciates the finer things in life. There are times in life when people have patience. People, they have Erech. Erech, good morning. Welcome back. How are you?
Welcome.
How is the Yom Tov?
Great.
Rabbi Eisen, you went away to your children.
No, I was in Teaneck.
Okay. What is erech ruach, patience? There are times in life when people have patience, but not because sometimes you don't have a choice. Rachmanlosan, you have to go to a doctor's office, and you have to wait at the doctor's. They have to wait in the waiting room for an hour. Do you have a choice? To an observer, this individual is very patient. He's sitting here for an hour, for 2 hours, 3 hours, waiting for his appointment, waiting for the doctor to see him. So to the nurse, to the person, the receptionist, this individual has patience. If you'll ask the person, do you have patience? I don't have patience. I don't have a choice. I have to see the doctor. This is life. I have to go on the train. The train is late. I have a choice. I have to stand on the platform in the freezing cold or in the hot sun and wait for the train whether I like it or not. That is erech ruach. But then there is a time when you have patience because you are a person of stature. It's just not meant to be. This is what Hashem wants from me. I have patience because this is what it's a patience. What?
You're waiting to get a bus. And you looked to see if the bus was coming. That was a chait.
Rav Dessler would never run for a train. Rav Dessler was a Talmud of Kelm. Rav Dessler would come to the train station. When I go to the train station, you hear the train. You hear the train coming, right? You run. And even the people behind the booth, the workers in the booth, the agents in the booth, they tell you the train is coming. Everyone, run. Rav Dessler, it's not meant to be. You don't. A person, migvar ruach, a person of stature, this is where Hashem brought me, this is what's meant to be. There's no need to be impatient, it's just not bashert. So if we take the theme of Rashi and we plug it into the end of the pasuk, it has exactly the same meaning. Just like Rashi says, toiv, achris tovar meirei shisoi, the end of the matter is only as good as the haschalah, the shoresh. Likewise, toiv erech ruach, it's good when the patience comes, migvar ruach, out of a sense of of exaltedness, of greatness, of stature, and you deal with situations in life, you're tolerant of other people in life, you're tolerant of situations in life, out of nigvar ruach, that is a tremendous smile. That is a godless. So what we're doing here at the end of the pasuk is we're translating migvar ruach not to mean arrogance, pumfakert. We're translating migvar ruach to mean exaltedness. Person of stature. What's the nusach?
The
hoibni. There's no real good translation for that, right?
A lot of words.
The hoibni yid. The hoibni kai. What? More than uplifting. It's a
stature.
This is something you can't really translate. But that's really what migvar ruach means. And if you live a life, migvar erech ruach, you deal with life. You deal with life, and you take it as it comes. Migvar from a state of exaltedness, that's a tremendous smile. That will take you, that will, you'll be able to accomplish and deal with anything in life when you have that nature.
But with that interpretation, it doesn't fit with the first part.
In Echnami. The Mitzudos is making the, I'll tell you, the Mitzudos takes the two.
What we're trying to do is see what the contrast is.
Right. In Echnami.
What you're saying now.
Right. In Echnami, right, you're right. There is no contrast. That's why when we learned the Mitzudos, I made that point. The Mitzudos is unique in addressing that issue, that the two parts must be sandwiched together. But Rashi doesn't say anything, and leaving it to this approach, we're putting these, in Echanami, just a similarity, but it's not, the two are not necessarily related. Okay, then the last rash, the rash, erech ruach hamarich reges ve'inim emar lariv, a person, Rashi says the same thing as the Mitzudos, hamarich reges, a person that holds back his anger, ve'inim emar lariv. See, I take it back, Rashi really is saying the same idea as the Mitzudos David, in the Rashi's first interpretation. In Rashi's first interpretation, same thing, that the end is better than the beginning, because with the beginning you do not know what's going to be. The end, it's already been decided what's going to be. The Mitzvah just elaborates that when a person gets into a quarrel, he's now starting a new chapter in life. You do not know where this machlokes will lead. If you keep quiet, and you have patience, and you control your anger, then it's as if the war has already come to an end. You're already 30 years ahead. You've already signed all the peace treaties, and everything, there's Shalom Al Yisrael, that's the Pshat the Mitzvah. Okay, let's see the Targum. The Targum, Pasuk Ches, reads, Tov Soif Iska Min She Ruya. The end of a matter. So he is the word here of iska means a matter. It's better than the beginning. Why? So he explains. Div sheruya lo is ishte moida ligvar mada asilim have besoife. Elohein. In the beginning, it's not known to man what's going to be at the end. The outcome is going to be Elohein, Soif Milsa, but the end of the matter, Tov, why? Because Ishti Moda Ligvar de Tov Hu, because it's known to man the goodness. At the, when something is concluded, so you already know if it's good or not. Well, in this instance, you know that it's good. Then he explains the end of the Pasuk, the Tov Kodem Hashem. Now here is something that's different than Rashi, and different than the Mitzudos. We're not dealing here with anger, with controlling anger, but it means V'tov kodem Hashem gvar deshole biruchei u'michadesh yitzrei. Not anger. We're dealing over here with a person that's able to control his yitzhar, to control his passion. Yitzhar comes to a person, tries to convince him to do an aver, he's able to hold himself back. That his impulses, migvar de ozel begasus ruche, a person that goes in gaiva. In other words, he's telling us over here that gaiva, a person who is a bal gaiva, cannot control, he's trying to create a correlation between gaiva, arrogance. An arrogant person is in the hands of the Yetzer Hara, he is controlled by his impulses. A person who is, controls his Yetzer Hara, is an erech ruach. Erech is in control. That's not what it really says in the pasuk. That's a little bit of a stretch. Erech ruach, you're in control of the yetzer hara more better than a person who is arrogant. One who is arrogant is not in control of his yetzer hara. Okay, now there are a couple of ideas, short ideas. First of all, this pasuk is one of the sources for something that we've just done a few days ago, 2 days ago on Simchas Torah, when we concluded the Sefer Torah, Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek. What do? Chosan Bereishis. We start writing, we start again. Every Siyam, it's the custom that you end the Masechta, and at the Siyam, you begin the next Masechta. Why? So it comes partially from this pasuk. Toiv Achris Dovar Mereishis. So the Achris Dovar is only good if it's connected to the beginning. It's a little bit of a josh. When you conclude something, if you really appreciate with what you've concluded, you'll show your appreciation by starting it again. The chavivas. If something is truly precious, when it's over, let's start it again. Let's review. Let's do it once again. So that's really alluded to here in this passage. That's what it says over here in the sefer called Karmei Yisrael, a makor for the minig of Chasam Bereishis after Chasam Torah, and for that matter, every time we make a scene. Okay, there's another idea. The word Reishis is also translated as the best, as it says in the pasuk. Reishis Tevuasai. You give Bikurim, Achala, Reishis Arisoy Seichem, Terimu Tumula Hashem. Chal is called the Reishis Arisoy Seichem. Reishis does not just mean the first, it means the best, the choice, the best. Toiv Achris Davar, the end is good, may Reishis so when the end is the best. Save the best for the last. In the year, Elul, the end of the year, is the best part of the year. The last month of the year is Chodesh Elul. That is the time when we come closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We spend an entire month doing tshuva, slichas. It's a time of the greatest kurva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ne'ilah, Yom HaKippurim. What's the holiest time of Yom HaKippurim? Ne'ilah. It's the time when Shara Yishmaim Psach, it's the time of we feel the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the very end. Shabbos, what's the most intense moment of Shabbos? Rava de Rava, the third meal of Shabbos, Shalosh Subas, we learned yesterday. The Shalosh Alpi, according to the Mekubalim, this is the time of the greatest intensity of Shabbos. As you come towards the end, that is the time that you set aside for the Reishis. You always hear about Gedolei Yisrael. What were their last words? What was the last thing they said? What was the last thing of Moshe said, or Moshe Feinstein said? Exactly. I say that every day. So you hear people, they're very obsessed. What was the last? What was my last encounter with some person? There's something to it. That's what it says. Toiv achris davar mereishis so, when the end is the best. We save the best for the last. Okay, another idea. Another idea, Toiv Achris Dava Mereishis. Okay, this refers to...
Well, when it's over, you get to see the big picture.
When it's over...
When things begin, you don't understand a lot, but when it's finished, then you can look back and assess the entire, all the events, and you understand them better.
Then you can reflect. Okay,
problem with waiting and not pushing, running for the train is a big problem with that, because then you're forcing the ending yourself. Because maybe you were meant to make the train, all you had to do was run and make it, and then it would have been the end result was that I was supposed to make the train.
You have to plan. Alright, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now he says over here something similar to what you're saying. Toiv achris davar mereishis so means... You have to turn around the words of the pasuk, and it basically means Ezeh Chacham Haroya Es Hanoilat. If a person, read the words backwards. If at the beginning of a matter you see what's coming at the end, you see what's going to be at the Reishis Hadavar, you see the consequences of your actions. That's good. The person does not see what's coming later at the end. You're looking for trouble. Now we hear that this story doesn't really relate to. I don't really see the relationship to this pasuk, but I just find it to be a fascinating story. So,
Erech Ruah.
What?
Erech Ruah.
maybe could mean someone who has a long-term perspective. Then a short-term perspective. Okay, that's very good. That's so the end of the pasuk would then fit very well into the beginning of the pasuk. Okay, he has here a story. I don't really see in the Sefer of in the Sarasi Bamdinos, I don't really see how this story has anything to do with the pasuk, but I'll tell you soon because it's such a fascinating story. Idea. The Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim, in the entire Mishnah Berurah, almost never, I think he says, never quotes anyone, any of the Gedolim, the great people from his generation. All of the Piskei Halach that he quotes from Sfarim and from Gedolim who are no longer living, from the previous generation. He does not quote any contemporaries. That itself is also, he doesn't talk about modern Shalos of the day. When he wrote the Mishnah Berurah, Aruch HaShulchan is different. Aruch HaShulchan what? I don't know about Aruch HaShulchan. But the Mishnah Berurah, when the Mishnah Berurah, a couple of years ago, when it was the 100th anniversary from the conclusion of the Mishnah Berurah, there was a lot of write-ups about the derech of the Mishnah Berurah. He did not discuss in the Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim was not the only one who wrote the Mishnah Berurah. There was a team. He had his son and his son-in-law. He had other people contribute to the writing, but he was the editor. He took responsibility for the final product. And he did not discuss contemporary questions, shyness of the day.
What do you think that is?
Electricity. Electricity.
Why do you think that is?
He didn't want to get, so I think it also, he did not want to, yes, it appears so. I think that's the second thing. He also did not quote even issues, old issues, things which were shyness from time immemorial. He did not quote the opinion of people that were Gedolim, that were living in his day. He only quoted people that were no longer living from the previous generations. And the question is why, obviously. He did not want to get involved in the controversy. He just wanted to write us but there's one exception. Okay, there is one exception. The exception is in the laws of Rosh Hashanah, not that long ago, when you blow the shofar. So if you can, most Baalei Tekiah cannot do this. They blow, they're supposed to blow it on the right side of your mouth. Trumpet players blow the trumpet in the middle. It's much easier to blow a shofar when you blow the shofar in the center. Much easier. Anyone who have practice blowing the shofar? You got to be a real, real expert to blow. What?
Left-handed. I'm left-handed.
It's not just being left-handed. It's much harder to get out the sound, to get out that pressure of ear from the corner of your mouth. Min hametzar korasi ka. Min hametzar means from the straits, which is also interpreted to mean from the corner, from the edge. Most Baalei Tekiah, to the best of my knowledge, are not makbid on this because it's just extremely difficult. There are pros that can do it. So if you can do it from the corner of your mouth, the right side of your mouth, ma toivu ma noim.
I wasn't a good blower, but my father would only let me put it on the right side.
On the right side.
Only.
It's very hard.
You just get used to that. That's it.
But it's very, very hard. It's very hard. If you put it in the middle, you can blow. Most people, if they put it in the middle, they can blow 1, 2, 3. When they put it on the right side,
try
in the middle. You see, it's much, much easier. Very easy to get the air and to produce the sound. It's a world of a difference. So the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes this halacha. I'll read what he says in the Be'er Halacha. He quotes from the Or Sameach. He quotes from the Or Sameach, the Meshech Chachma, Avmeh Simcha Midvinsk. Okay, the Or Sameach. The Or Sameach was a contemporary. Okay, Rabbi Yisai. The Or Sameach was a contemporary of the Chofetz Chaim. And the Mishnah, I'll tell you what he says. He says, Oy Shemati, he writes over here in the Be'er Halacha, Oy Shemati, B'Shem HaGoin, Moreinu HaRav, Rebbe Meir Simcha HaKoin, Midvinsk, okay, Tam Nochoin, why we blow on the right side. He's an original insight. Ki B'Shas, Rosh Hashanah, Yalfi Lolet Ki HaShofar Mechatzay Tzreis, Hamul Chama, one of the sources for blowing Shofar on Rosh Hashanah comes from the trumpets that were blown when we went out to war against our enemies. Uvikra, and it says in Pasuk and Shoftim, Eitzel Mulchama B'Gidoin, Ksiv, it says, Vayachziku biyat smaylam balapidim. They took in their left hands torches, uviyad yeminam, and in their right hands hashoifers. So being that in this pasuk in Sefer Shoftim it equates the right with the Shofar, Litkoya, and therefore due to this equation, this is a reason why, another reason why we blow on the right side of the mouth, not on the left side, being that in the pasuk in Shoftim we equate the Shofar with the right side. Min hanetzar karasika, which side, the right or the left? So we see here the right is associated with the Shofar, so we blow on the right side. So here, this is something that it doesn't say in the Medrash, it doesn't say in the Gemara, it doesn't say in the Ge'onim, not in the Rishonim, and not in the Achronim. This is an idea that was for the novel, original insight that was said by the Or Sameach, Rav Meir Simcha Medvinsk, in probably in the year, in the late 19th century. And the Mishneh Berurah over here in the Ber Halacha, uncharacteristically is quoting this novel insight. This is not a drush sefer. The Mishneh Berurah was written with extreme precision. It was done with great intensity. And he's quoting, so what's going on? So Rav Meir, you're going to forgive me over here, Rav Meir, I'm about to say, Rav Shach, Rav Elozer Man Shach, he took note of this, and I said, I'll tell you the reason why the Mishneh Berurah did this, why the Chofetz Chaim did this. Because there was a famous Maisa Shehoya, you have to know history to understand where the Mishneh Berurah is coming from. There was a famous Maisa Shehoya, when there was a meeting called the government insisted on introducing Limudei Chol into the yeshivas. Again, this is not the Limudei Chol, not the 21st century, dealing with a whole different culture. When they insisted on introducing Limudei Chol into the educational system of the Jews, and all the Gedolim got together, they had a meeting what to do, a solution to prevent this from happening. And all the Gedolim were invited, and the Chofetz Chaim was not invited. And the one who called the meeting was Rav Meir Simcha Medvinsk, Or Sameach. And the meeting was about to begin, or the meeting was already in session. In walks the Chofetz Chaim, uninvited. So they said, what are you doing here? Like, I'm sorry for not inviting you, but like, so he says, my sister is being slaughtered. I think that's what he says, my sister is being slaughtered, and I'm not going to come to the meeting? So what do you mean, your sister? So he's Emor la chochma achaisiat. So he had a whole discussion, and he sat in the meeting. So people, Chofetz Chaim took it, Chofetz Chaim sensed, this is the story behind it, he sensed that people had a complaints against the Or Sameach. How could it be you did not invite the Chofetz Chaim? The Chofetz Chaim, obviously he didn't invite the Chofetz Chaim because he wanted to be matriachim. Obviously he had a very good reason not to be matriach the Chofetz Chaim, to come to this meeting, to travel. It's probably very difficult for him to travel. So people began murmuring, Or Sameach didn't have their cherets for the Chofetz Chaim. So the Chofetz Chaim went out of his way in the Mishneh Berurah. He did something that's off the charts to show he has no tainus, no complaints against the Or Sameach, and this is the only exception in the sixth halakim of Mishneh Berurah where he quotes a contemporary to quote an original insight, a Chassidish Shavart, an original insight from the Or Sameach, and he calls him Mareinu V'Rabeinu. What does he call him over here? Mareinu V'Rabeinu Rabbeinu Simcha. To show I have no complaints. No one should say anything. They didn't invite me to this meeting. Now, how does that apply to this pasuk? So he seems to be saying, Toif, what?
Did he take his side in
I don't know what happened at that meeting.
Because if he argues,
yes,
with that, you probably
will agree. He doesn't discuss that.
Look very good.
You'll look it up in Shulchan. You'll find out what happened at that meeting. Yeah?
Everyone decided to make the Bar Apoyel, the person who would put into action, was the Lubavitcher.
Lubavitch was to do what? To
go ahead and do the work that had to be done.
Had to be done to do. Okay.
He was the one who was.
It was a different Lubavitch those days. That was the fifth.
He was the anti-Zionist Lubavitch, right?
That was the fifth. That was probably the fifth Rebbe at that time. Correct. This Rebbe now was the seventh.
What do you mean now?
What do you mean now? What does that mean now? What does it mean now? Okay.
We learned this last week that if your enemy does something, what you should do is do him a favor. That's
what he reads in this pasuk. Toiv achres dav meirei yeshisai. Think ahead. Look what the Chofetz Chaim had to do to cover his tracks. If Avmeir Simcha would have invited him, this whole thing wouldn't have happened. It would not have been necessary for the Mishnah Berurah to quote of the Or Sameach. Person has to think very carefully the consequences, the ramifications of his actions, especially if you're a public figure and people are watching. People are paying attention. Be super careful. You don't know what could happen. Toiv Achris Tavar Meresh Yisai. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Tes Al Tivahel Beruchachol Lichos. The word Tivahel obviously means do not be in a state of Bahala. Bahala means confused, bewilderment, in a state where you're not in control. You're not in control. You're lost. You're in a state, Bahala, we usually translate as terror. What is terror?
Don't be in a big haste.
Impetuous. Okay, how does it translate in the Mitzvah Stavit?
You know, we talk about rushing to judgment.
Pasuk Tes Al Timaher. Okay, the Mitzvah Stavit says that indeed what you say, Timah, do not be swift. Biruchacha, with your spirit, lichos, to get angry. A person should control, to learn how to control his anger. Kikas, because anger. Bechek, kisilim, yenuach, it rests in the chek, in the lap, in the bosom of a fool. Fools are quick. They're quick. It's on their lap. It's in front of them to get angry. A person shows wisdom by controlling his anger. Let's look at the Mitzvah Pasuk Tes Al Tavel Beruchacha. The Ace His Rag Zicha. When a person gets angry, Al Timaher Laharoy Sakas. Do not be quick to show your anger. Ki Heroy Sakas Motzal Atzma Moka Menuach. Because the showing of anger. Because anger is something which is reserved for fools. And from them it's never, it's resting in their bosom. It's resting in their lap. And from them it never departs. Al kilo yisboininu, because they lack understanding. They don't understand that their friends will put them to shame. They don't understand that when they get angry, that it's not taken well. And their friends behind their back say not nice things about them. Therefore, hamask, the person is wise. Yidoin, he should be silent at a time when he would be inclined to get angry. The esahi v'lo yiksaf maher, should not get angry quickly. Rashi al tivaher tivahel al tivar, the same thing as the mitzudas. Targum is a bit different. Targum injects a whole new flavor to this pasuk. Targum pasuk test says uvi idon deseisi aloch oy chachusa min shemaya. Why are you getting angry? Because you missed the train. We're dealing with serious matters. We're dealing with over here, the cast is getting angry, not just saying something nasty. We're dealing with a person that has a difficult matzav in life. When life has presented him with something that is very unpleasant, a person has a tendency to complain, to be bitter against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I heard a Rav say that most people, or by all people in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the balance books is always in the red. Everyone has a cheshbon. It's mitzias. Everyone has a cheshbon that Hashem owes us. We make a cheshbon, Hashem, I've done A, B, and C, and you've done X, Y, Z. Let's measure out. Hashem, you're in the red. I'm in the black, you're in the red. On the balance sheet, you owe me. So a person has a tendency to be bitter, to have complaints against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the pasuk says. Don't be so quick to judge HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being guilty of not reciprocating and not giving you one what he deserves. That's the Targum Tam Shab. That's what exactly Targum says. When a person is given something bitter from heaven, Musa from heaven, don't be quick with your neshama to get angry and to complain against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sor vanusa, complaints. Klape shmaya, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. According to the Mitzudois and according to Rashi, you would learn the pasuk simply when dealing with Be'alim Chaveri, or between you and your friend. You're sitting on the dining room table and someone says something nasty, something you don't want to hear. So you go and you give him a smack. You give him a kick. You give him an insult. You want to insult me? You give him an insult back. Or you're waiting for the train. The train's not coming. So you say something nasty to your friend. That's the Pasha Pshat. According to the Targum, that's not the Pshat. It's not. There's another pshat. There's a deeper pshat. We're not dealing here in adam lachaveri. Right? We're not dealing here in adam liatzmai. We're dealing here in your relationship between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives person a situation, presents him with a difficult nesoin in life. Don't kick. Don't be bitter against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshvan. Arum, why? Arum in Ansavel Yishtabek Loch, because here he's eating a lot of, he's embellishing the pasuk. If you will bear in Ant Sovel, if you will tolerate the situation without complaints, guess what? Yishtabek Loch Choyvach, Hashem will forgive you for your sins. A difficult situation in life is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to be cleansed from your sins. Just deal with it in a dignified way.
He owes you one.
What?
He owes you one.
Hashem owes me one. Yeah, pretty much. That's really what it is. The in ant misare, but if you're going to reject and refuse to accept the situation, umartach, and get angry, da, you should know, arum, that rischo ba'atoyv shotyon yenuach, you're following in the ways of the foolish people. For anger is something that rests in the lap of the fools, ad kidun dihovad yoson, until Hashem destroys them. That's a very powerful word that he's adding into the pasuk. Dihovat. Hovat means destruction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings anger to foolish people in order to push them off of this world, to get rid of them. These people are deserving of punishment. So Hashem brings upon them difficult situations to be the makim v'patish, to finish them off. Does a person want to be finished off, or does a person want to use the situation as an opportunity to be forgiven for his sins and rewarded and come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's the choice a person has in his life. It's very easier said than done, obviously. Okay, obviously easier said than done. But this is a very, very elaborate interpretation of the pasuk Al Tavala B'Ruchach Lichos. And he's adding in, you'll be an opportunity to be forgiven. If you're not going to take the opportunity, you're going to reject. You act like the fools, and then I guess he learns yenuach. Yenuach really means more. The yenuach means he's going to come to an end. The seal, he's being presented with a difficult matzif to finish him off. Okay, that's the pashim shot. Another short idea I saw between you: a person can always contest himself. If you want to know if a person is a chacham or a ksil, the test is, after you get angry, after you let out steam, how do you feel? A chacham, after he lets out steam, everyone loses control at some point in time. Ain't sadik barser yastay v'lo yechta. I mean, how much can you tolerate nonsense? Right? Come to a certain point, you're going to let out steam. But the chacham will always be filled with charata after he lets out steam. A kisil, after he lets out steam, is happy. Yanuach.
Needed to be said.
Ah, now I feel good. So the test is, in those few moments in life, when you lose control and you let out steam, the moment after, when you compose yourself, do you have remorse? Or you feel, I feel good about this.
A little bit the Sephorno touches on that, basically. Sometimes you feel like if you let off steam in little pieces,
yeah,
you might rationalize that if I hold it in long enough, I'll just explode.
Explode, okay.
And it'll be terrible. He said it's still worth it to keep it.
To keep it in. To let it subside.
If you're smart...
That's the litmus test. It's true. It's so true. You get angry, you're going to let off. How do you feel the day after you get angry? If you have charata, you're in good shape. If you don't have charata, stark in the Torah. That's right. I got angry for a good reason. I'm happy. And we're talking, of course, we overdid it, of course. We went overboard. If you feel in a state of yanuach, kikas, bechei kesilim, the anger, that's bechei kesilim yanuach. He interprets the pasuk to mean it brings them rest. It brings them menucha. Instead of realizing they've made a tragic mistake and they should have charata.
We see in many cases Moshe Rabbeinu was quick to anger.
We had the Rashi yesterday. Right, that was the Rashi.
Like by the Chatos.
Not always, the Chatos. That was one of the reasons why he was denied the entrance to Eretz Yisrael, because he got angry and he hit the rock. Okay, there's another very, very beautiful avar. We say when we have to wait until we say the alchets. But one of the alchets is alchets shechatayna lefanecha b'simhoin leivav. What is simhoin leivav? So it says here, Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin. Yeshua Leib Diskin was Eretz Yisrael.
The Briskerov.
So Yeshua Leib Diskin says, this is the, when you say in the Al-Khayt Shechatan Lefanecha B'Simon Leivav, you're referring to the pasuk we've just quoted. Al-Tivahel Biruchacha Lichais. Kikas B'Chei Kisilom Yenuach. It means that we were quick to get anger. Simhoin means, what does Simhoin mean? Simhoin means bewilderment of the heart. But it really means, this pasuk, Tivahel Beruchacha, it means to be quick to get angry. And if you take it more with the interpretation, you take the flavor of the Targum, it adds so much more meaning into the Al-Chayt. There are tainus on you. Al-Chayt Shechatan L'Fanecha B'Sim Le'lov, I have Harata, I confess, that I have complaints against you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have presented me with difficult situations, and I have rejected them. I have kicked. I have boyet against you. It's you really forgiving me. You were referring back to what it says here in this pasuk in Koheles.
Can I read what the article?
Yes, of course.
It says Alchet Shechatanu of Nechav B'Simay Leva for the sin through the confusion of heart. Then when he expounds upon it, he says we have allowed ourselves to be weakened in matters of faith. When troubles befall us, we wonder why, instead of understanding that God is showing us that we must improve ourselves. We have doubted the validity of the Torah, the authority of the sages, and the applicability of the halacha to modern times.
Zach, that's really what the Targum says. That's what the Targum says, but he ties it right into a pasuk. He ties it right into the pasuk. A lot of the nusach, we don't appreciate that in almost every single expression in the nusach Atzilah comes from a pasuk in Tanakh.
Right.
Rav Chaim Knievsky is very good at this. In his svarim, he shows even single words. He shows this word is traced to a pasuk in Nehemiah, a pasuk in Yeshaya. And when you read the whole pasuk and you look at the nusach, oh, now I understand. I now understand the richness of what this tefillah is all about. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk is a very powerful pasuk. Al taymar mehoya. A person should not say mehoya. What is this? Shehayamim harishonim hayu tovim me'ela ki loy mechach mashu'alt al zeh. Okay, this is a very deep pasuk. We're almost out of time. We'll try to do this very quickly. Let's first see the mitzudos tavit. The person should not ask the question, how can it be that the previous generations were better? Why is it that there is a Yeridus Hadaras? Why has the previous... Let's see the time of the mitzudos. The mitzudos tavit pasuk yod. Al taymar al tisma. Do not wonder. Mimneima hayezasher hayamim harishonim kedora shol Yehoshua. David, the Dar of Yeshua, they came into Eretz Yisrael. The Dar of David, they were about to build the Beis Hamikdash. They finally, why Dafka did the Mitzudas select these two generations? This really comes from Midrashim. It's because these two generations, from our perspective, were the best generations in history. Why? Dar Yeshua, they came into Eretz Yisrael. What better bracha, what greater bracha is there in this world than Yeshua of Eretz Yisrael? There's no greater bracha. That's where we belong. Why is the generation of David the greatest generation, even more so than Shlomo HaMelech? Because it was the generation when it was decided, L'shichnoi Sidrishu Uvasa Shama. It was in David's generation when it was decided that Yerushalayim is the final resting place for the Shekhinah. So as far as we are concerned, we want to look back at the generations, those two generations were the best. We always have this debate. If you can go in a time machine and you get one trip back, can you set the dial and you get one trip ticket back to any generation that you can live in? When would you want to live? Pick a year. So I always argue that the best time to live is the 15 years of when the Avos overlapped. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, those 15 years when they overlapped, what more can you possibly want? You're living in a generation where you can go visit Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they're both alive. But on the other hand, you can argue the best generation is to live in the generation of Yehoshua. There's nothing more important. There's nothing that's more important. We don't appreciate this. Unfortunately, we live in Chutz Yaretz. We don't appreciate. There's no greater bracha than living in Eretz Yisrael. That's what it's all about. That's the sixth parash. Uzahav Aretz Ahi Toiv. It's a reference to Eretz Yisrael. The gold of the land is good. That's a reference to Eretz Yisrael. There's no gold, there's no greater commodity in this world than Eretz Yisrael. That's the generation of Yehoshua. On the other hand, you can also argue to live in the generation of David. The Shechna, it's no small matter that the Shechina, the purpose of this world was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make for us in this world the Mokom HaShuas HaShechina, and it was selected. The Shechna Sidrashu Uvos HaShem on the door of David HaMelech. So that's the generation to live in. Okay, this is a really good debate. They have a good debate, they have a good topic of discussion, throw out a question to an audience. You pick a generation, if you were forced, who says you want to go back? But if you were forced to go back and you put in a time machine and you had to set the dial and pick a generation, ask an audience, when would you want to live? Pick the generation, pick the time you'd want to live in. Rashi here selects two generations. He does not give my answer. He does not say Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He says Dor Yeshua and Dor David. Because that was the ultimate bracha. It doesn't tell us. You know, it's not so obvious. Think about it. Yes, some people, are you want to really live during the generation of Yeshua? There's Milchamas, 31 kings.
David,
Moiridik Tsars. Shaul, the Polishtim, it's all blood and war. Everyone is fighting. Some people don't even want to teach Tanakh to young children. It's too violent, it's too graphic. So, you really want to live in that generation? Well, the answer is yes. It says, see, there was no greater bracha. You should not ask this question. How could it be the previous generation, the previous generation? And we had such great bracha. Those generations, I know that's what the pasuk says. But let's just first get the facts straight.
Right.
Let's get the facts straight. Those generations. Okay, that's not so simple. Now let's go further. The kiloy mechach mashal tazeh hasheila hahi loy shalta minachach maatzma. Why? Ki elu shalta oisa hi chaisa meshiva amamareha betuv tam vedas. Because ki elu shalta oisa hi chaisa meshiva amorecha betuv tam vedas. There is a very good answer, but unfortunately, people they're too short minded. They don't understand. Their minds are too small to appreciate the answer. Oy hashela hahilo shalta mifas hachochma ki mifas hakistl is only due to foolishness. Ki derech hachocham lishol shelos hagunos ki my oimek hachmasa v'derech hakisil lishol shelos einu hamamish lusi kisilusa. Now the very big problem is there's a major problem here, major problem. The pasuk and the mitzudos and none of the commentators tell us the answer. The question is a good question. The question is a good question. What's the answer to the question? Why not? It is a very good question. The previous generations were better. You can't deny the fact that they were better. So what indeed is the answer? How could the pasuk go on and say, it is a good question. What's the answer? So the answer given is, the Mepharshim explained is as follows. Okay, this is what it says over here, what the answer and how, okay, and it ties into the word Chachmah. Even though it's true that in the previous generations, there is no question that it was better, the bracha was significantly better than in this generation, but the Nisyonais were also that much greater. In the generation of David, the generation of Yeshua, there was the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. We have no clue. We have no, the challenges of the generation, the bracha was off the charts. To live with Eretz Yisrael and Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah, it's off the charts, the degree of blessing. But the challenges, the Nisyonais of Avodah Zarah, we think having the distraction of a smartphone is a distraction. It's nothing compared to the distraction, the nisoyon of what it meant to have a yetzer for avodah zarah. Or in every generation, there were other things that were very distracting. In this generation, we don't have the awesome bracha. That's right. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash. We have major problems in Eretz Yisrael. We have major problems in Chutz Laaretz. Wherever we turn, there are problems. But the nisyonos, this is contrary to popular belief. I'm telling you what it says here, because this is what it's saying here is the MS. Today they tell you in the street, oh, then this generation, you can't, and the Nisyonis are so great, you can't survive in this generation. He says, see, he totally disagrees. He says, in this generation, it's Zel. He asked this question, you're going around, you talk today, and then you say, today, the children, the Nisyonis they have today are impossible. It's not kiloy nechochma sha'alta azeh. You're mamish fulfilling exactly what it says in this pasuk. In every single generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees balance. There's balance. There are milos and there are chesroinos. It's always equal. There are opportunities children have today they never had years ago. The opportunities, the tools, the things that are available today, well, for adults and for children, we all know ourselves, what's out there today is off the charts. And the nisyonos are also very difficult. Years ago, when we maybe considered, maybe they weren't such great nisyonos, there wasn't internet, there wasn't smartphones, but you know, there wasn't, we didn't have access to such... Okay, but whatever the standards are, but there's always balance. That's what the pasuk says, because the question is a very good question. What do you mean? The truth is, in the previous generations, the bracha was off the charts, and this generation, we don't have such great bracha. The answer is, but in the previous generations, the nisyonos were that much greater, and the people had to deal with and they were of higher stature, so it was zeluma zebarulukim. They dealt with incredible nisyonos, and for passing the tests, they were rewarded with incredible bracha. In this generation, we don't have that degree of bracha, but zeluma zebarulukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give us the nisyonos of the previous generation. And you have to have faith, and you have to have emunah that in every generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always keeping everything out of balance. And that is what the taich of chokhmah is. What is chokhmah? Chokhmah is balance. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is not one size fits all. In life, it's all about shades of gray. That's the way life is. It's different strokes for different folks. What works well for one person is not what works well for another person. There has to be a degree of balance. That's chachma. If a person says the Yom Rishon, are you talking the Eila? Kiloy me chachma sha'al tazeh. It shows you lack chachma. Because if you're a chacham, you know there's always balance. And the previous generation, they had the balance, bracha versus the nisyonos. In this generation, you don't have the nisyonos. You're blessed. So zelumazek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take away some of the bracha. And you're equal. In the big picture of things, you turn out you're equal. What? Rashi has a different... Okay, Rashi... Let's see Rashi quickly. Notice what Rashi, not like the Mesudos. Again, this debate, throw out this question to a class. Rav goes to the Balabat. It's a great topic to talk in. Go right throughout the Balabat. If you go back in the time machine, Mesudos told us two generations, Rashi is Chaylik. Rashi says the Dor HaMidbar. I would rather go back to Dor HaMidbar. With Moshe Rabbeinu, with Dor Shel Yeshua, with Dor Shel David, it's one war. Okay, it's a different, so that's not necessarily a contradiction. I think really what he's saying over here in the Sussi, but Medina is coming to elaborate on what it means.
It's a stupid question because they were worthy of it.
Why were they worthy? I think he's just coming to elaborate. What do you mean, why were they worthy? Because they had greater nisyonos. Hashem presented them with much more difficult nisyonos, and they passed the nisyonos, and that's why they're worthy of greater bracha. We don't have those nisyonos, because we would not survive those nisyonos, so we don't have that merit, so we don't have such bracha. But in the big picture of things, it all balances out. It all balances out. We don't have the bracha, but we don't have the nisyonos. Zelu mazeh. It's Bar Elokim.
The evidence, he just says it's all based on, it shows that you're not sameach v'chelko.
You're not sameach.
If you're not happy about you saying, I remember the good old days. See, obviously you have a problem that you're not sameach v'chelko. That's how...
That's loy chachma. That's sameach chachma.
Right.
Okay, let me leave with one last vart. We'll do the targum tomorrow. Let me just leave you with one last vart. This is a very frightening vart. And this vart, you have to. Chazal tell us, a person, a Talmud Chacham calls man Shemanskinim Daitoy. The older a Talmud Chacham, when a person in his entire life is not talking about Rachman Slan, a person, a disease. We're talking about just a healthy person that, if he spent his entire life learning Chachma, They become wiser and wiser. Things become clear and clear. But das ameh aretz kolzman shemaskinim daitay mitarefes aleihem. They become more confused. If a person says that, how could it be that when I was younger, I was sharper? When I was a young man, I had a sharp photographic mind. Everything was clear. And now, I'm not at my game. I'm not at, what's the expression? I'm not holding my A game. I'm not at my A game. If you ask that question, you're revealing it's because you didn't spend your life. you're not spending your time being Isaac and Chachma. Because if you would have been Isaac and Chachma, then at this point in your life, you would be called Zagzakim, called Zman Shemanskim, Daitai Misyasheves Aleihem. So if you're telling us that at this point in your life, your Das is not Misyasheves, but it's confused, it means Kiloy Me Chachma. It's because you spent your life not involved in Chochmah. You are incriminating yourself. The question is a self-incriminating statement. Okay, but that has to be taken with a grain of salt, because we know today that's not necessarily true, unfortunately. Okay, we'll stop here.